My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is Tuesday. Today is a day off for our Falcons. Tomorrow, they will start prepping and getting ready for the Philadelphia Eagles. Traditionally, that's how this works. Thursday, we will be up at Flowery Branch because they play on Monday night. Normally, it's on a Wednesday. But Thursday, we'll be up there, and we'll get a chance to talk to Coach Ra, and, of course, we'll have players as well. Here's where we're at, guys. Something's wrong with the quarterback. It doesn't take a scientist to look at this situation. It doesn't take a football analyst. It doesn't take an orthopedist. Mm-hmm. I just think it takes your eyes to look at it and say, that didn't look right. Now, the Falcons may not cop to this. They may not say, hey, absolutely, he's not 100%. But Mike, is our quarterback well? Because that is the number one thing heading into week two against the Philadelphia Eagles that I'm concerned about. There's nothing we can do about the Steeler game, guys. It's done. We took the L. Fine. But what did we learn, and is our quarterback well?
Because everything we talked about leading up to this was, can't wait to see what the Zach Robinson offense looks like. It just doesn't seem to me like that would be the offense you would ever call against that defense unless there was something you had to account for with your quarterback not being 100%. You know, and we did the numbers, guys, and it's pretty astounding. I mean, it's pretty one-sided, and that's why if it felt like T.J. Watt or some of that defense was in the huddle because it became so predictable. So we'll have to wait till Thursday, and I know we are looking forward to the Monday night game, but still, a lot of questions about Cousins. And if Cousins was – you knew this was the case, I'm a little disappointed they didn't have Penix ready to go. I know they don't want to get into that controversy, Carl, but I mean, you got to go with the most athletic guy for the job, don't you?
Yeah, and to your point, I'll say this. If, in fact, that happened, okay, let's just hypothetically say it did. Let's just say they came out and said, listen, Penix is going to start game one. We want to give Kirk some more time. This is a 1 or 2 week thing, whatever it might be, and then we're going to allow Kirk to play. The problem with that is, and Atlanta, you know this, if for whatever reason Michael Penix went out there and had success, you'd be clamoring to see more of it.
Right.
So to defuse that situation, they started the guy they paid $100 million to, okay, and the guy that everybody said was the best free agent acquisition as far as quarterback in the offseason. They had to. Because if they didn't, then from the jump, Mike, you have this situation. Now, if I'm not telling you that they were willing to give up a game, obviously they thought he was well enough to play, and they threw him out there. But I just don't feel like this is right. And, Mike, today, you know, we did the podcast today. It's called In the Huddle. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. We were discussing this, and people around the league are talking about this. The Steelers left town talking about this. And I'm not talking about the players. The coaches, the front office. Mm. There are people around the NFL who says, So Mike and I, we don't have any definitive proof. We don't want to, cast aspersions here on Kirk Cousins and say that he is not completely well. But that's how I feel right now. And he can prove me completely wrong on Monday night, Mike, going out and balling out and having a good game against the Philadelphia Eagles. Win, lose, or draw, he's got to play better.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy that we're banking on. I mean, look, everybody gets into it, and they talked a little bit about it on the broadcast. He's not a $180 million man. You know, it's $100 million. It's 45, 45, and 10. But right now, he doesn't look like he's ready to go. I just don't know what you could look at, especially, you know, I think we saw some of the video that we posted, that Oren posted and Chris had out there on Twitter, where you see, you know, the 22 view from the end zone, and he just can't step in. He can't deliver the rock, you know, or it's sailing. And as you said, we're not trying to be pocket orthopedists here. It just doesn't pass the eye test. So I just don't want to be like 3 or 4 games into the season, I'm dealing with peg leg Pete out there, and he can't really do what you need to do. Everything we talked to the listeners about this summer was play action. You're under center. You're faking the handoff to Bijan. You're hitting somebody deep because they have to respect Bijan's athleticism. And it didn't happen at all.
It did not. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Here's the other thing. Last night, we watched the Monday night game. We were texting, as we do, with stuff that happens. And I texted the guys and said, hey, Aaron Rodgers looked halfway decent. That was the one drive they go down and they score. And Chris was all excited. We hadn't had that since 2015. But I noticed something last night. And, Mike, you've been saying this. How far along is Aaron compared to Kirk Cousins? How many weeks or months?
It's 8 weeks. Remember, it was week one for Aaron Rodgers, and it was the Halloween weekend that Kirk Cousins goes down for the Vikings with that Achilles. It's 8 weeks later.
Okay. Aaron was not mobile last night either.
Did not look like the Aaron. Now, the ball could come out with some zip, but he did not look as crisp as we've seen him in the backfield.
His arm talent is still there. But Aaron and his escapability, Mike, and his mobility has always played a role into him being able to create some more time. We think of Patrick Mahomes now, but Aaron's been doing that for years. He didn't do that last night. Rush came, pressure came. They got to him a couple of times. But I'm just telling you, if he's 8 weeks ahead,
yes,
that's all I'm telling you. I shouldn't be surprised to see where Kurt is now. Not that he can't throw the ball. But that mobility, Mike, that elusiveness, that stepping into it, I just don't know if it's there. And guys, again, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to tick Falcon fans off. I think we have a really good team. I think we're going to be fine. But this is a concern after game one.
Look, you know, we went round and round. At the time, I did not understand why you would give Cousins the money and then go draft Penix. I think, you know, you find your quarterback down the road, you've got at least 2 years with Cousins. But if you've got a viable option, I just think, and I get it, Zach Robinson, first-year offensive coordinator. It is a similar offense Cousins is familiar with. You want to get him the lion's share of reps. But I just felt, you know, everybody's telling me, no, we're never going to have this problem. Well, we clearly have a problem with the quarterback until I know else. Otherwise, show me on Monday that he's mobile and can do all the things we're expecting of him. Why didn't you have Penix ramped up, getting more reps in preseason, and then you've got a viable option? Quarterback controversy be damned. Just go with the best option. And Ross says, Kirk Cousins is our starter. We believe in Michael Penix. He is our quarterback of the future. And right now he's got a role to play until Kirk gets to 100%.
I'm with you.
That's not that hard to get into. I don't understand why that would create this sort of controversy you can't get yourself out from under.
Because you might be 2 or 3-0, and he might have thrown for 300 yards, and he may have shown you some things that really impress you and excite you. That and it shouldn't be a danger. I don't even know if that's the right word, Mike. But that's the consequence of doing it now. Not when it's his time, doing it before his time when you have a guy that you you've committed to. I'm not telling you it's wrong. You're absolutely right. Because you know what? At the end of the day, we say this. We just want to win. We want to win games. Whoever gives us the best chance to win games at this point. If a guy's not healthy, so be it, right? What's the thing in the NFL? Next man up. So I'm with you on that. But I think from an organizational standpoint, that is what they were reluctant about.
Right. And look, I just tell you, we went round and round on social media and on the airwaves when you guys tell me he's the insurance policy. Well, we need the insurance policy because the number one quarterback isn't ready. Again, he better bounce back on against the Georgia Eagles or the Philadelphia Bulldogs on Monday night in Philly. All I'm saying, guys, is you could have put Michael Penix Jr. out there and he could have thrown for the same yard as Kirk Cousins did. He could have thrown two interceptions. He could have had the ball snapped into the motion man because that's what rookies do. What part of that is a lie? What lie is being told?
Let's hear Raheem Morris. Yesterday he spoke to the media. The thing he was asked about Kirk Cousins, is he healthy?
I feel like Kirk is healthy. He's been healthy since he's been here, since he's been back. Obviously, the restriction that we had on him early, just like I talked about throughout, you're not being obstinate either. We had the restrictions we obviously put on him when he first got here, being smart with the OTA days. Obviously, when we came back to training camp, he was full go and be able to move. Other than the scrambles and some of those things, we limited. You know, towards the end of training camp, we allowed those things to happen, got him ready to go. We got into a game yesterday, and we got to get better.
All right. I want you to hear our former quarterback, Matt Ryan, who, by the way, is crushing it. He's doing a great job on CBS. He's on the pregame show now and pre-half, post, whatever. But he was asked about Atlanta's O-line because, again, protecting Kirk. You know, we saw this. And, again, we're not going to see T.J. Watt every week, guys. That dude's a different guy. But Matt was talking about when is this O-line its best?
In Atlanta, the problem is they're going against, you know, Pittsburgh's defense week one. You've got a first-time play caller in Zach Robinson, I think kind of getting a feel for the talent that's around him, understanding what the offensive line is doing.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That offensive line, to me, is best when they're running the football, right? When they're effective running the football, they can get into that play-action pass game, which they didn't do much of yesterday. So, you know, the inability to establish the run, I think, kind of set things out of rhythm for them and put them in a spot that they didn't want to be. And then, you know, quite frankly, I think they all looked a little bit rusty.
So he says running the ball, to Mike's point, sets up everything else. This is what we thought this offense would be. They didn't do a whole lot of that in week one. Matt said he thought the Falcons looked out of sync, Mike, and that's part of this too. I mean, we can talk about whether they should have played in the preseason. We know Kurt said he'd like to. They didn't want to risk it. But being out of sync and being rusty, is that what you equate what you saw on Sunday to, or is there something else there?
Not only him, but I thought the entire offense looked out of sync. And that's, you know, partially due to the fact these guys didn't play much in the preseason. And I know that's kind of the way everybody has gone in the NFL, right? There's this idea that, you know, it's not worth the risk of playing guys, getting somebody injured in the preseason. But, it wasn't just Atlanta. I think you look across the league, I thought offenses were pretty sloppy yesterday.
Yeah, man, look, we saw a bunch of guys throw for under 200 yards in the league. There are only two guys that threw over 300 yards, but we were just discombobulated. I mean, it was nothing close to what we talked about with the audience, what we expected this thing to look like. Now, again, Carl, I don't know if we're going to be carving copies of the Rams, but we expect to have some Ram-like tendencies
right,
in this thing.
Right, right. I'm curious, as we move forward, something ain't right.
Something ain't right.
Something ain't right. And I hope we're wrong. 404-726-0929.
And if loving Penix is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Well, hey, we got to get it right. We got to fix it. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, should they all be fired? We'll talk about it next. Lots of good text coming in at 404-726-0929. Also, you can follow us on social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes. And this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Everybody is talking about it, and I'm curious to know where you're at. Tyreek Hill's agent, his name's Drew Rosenhaus. As a matter of fact, he repped our own Randy McMichael, should I say. Yeah. He's repped a lot of guys. And Hugh Douglas, you're right. A lot of guys over the years in the NFL. He believes that these police officers should be fired with what went down on Sunday. And I'm just going to read the quote. And, Mike, then, you know, let's talk about this a little bit, because Tyreek Hill, again, in his presser after the game, I thought he did a great job of just not trying to kill anybody in the situation. And then he said, I just want to use my platform and empower people, blah, blah, blah. On the Dan Le Batard show, Rosenhaus went on and said, for me personally, I believe the police officers that did what they did to Tyreek shouldn't be in that position. They should be let go. Look at the guy who kicked him. Now, there has been one officer who is suspended, okay? He says, but look at the guy that kicked him. He should be fired. That's out of control. The guy that jumped in, put him in a chokehold. There's no place for a police officer to have a badge that operates like that when Tyreek wasn't being aggressive or violent or fighting back in any capacity. So that is from Drew Rosenhaus. Should all these guys be fired or suspended or just leave, leave of duty? What do you think?
I mean, we know, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, is we all know there's good cops and there's bad cops. And, you know, the good cops, and I don't want you to quantify whatever percentage you feel. Again, my experiences are different than the African-American experience with law enforcement. We don't debate that for a minute. I just felt that, you know, it started because he's speeding. You know, he gets pulled over because Tariq's speeding. Look, there's no excuse for anything you just talked about once he's outside the car. I just felt like Tariq big-timed him. I just felt like, look, roll down a window. It's pretty simple. Anybody out there, how do you tell your kids, black, white, green, or brown? Roll down the window, hands on the steering wheel, especially at night. This was in the afternoon or mid-morning. If I'm Tariq Hill, I go, hey, man, sorry, officer. I work right over here. I'm running late. That's it. But he just kept screwing. I thought he kept screwing around by rolling up and down the window. And this is where you get the cop who's clearly wrapped too tight.
Sure.
And then it escalates. And now we all know, guys, you may get pulled over by a cop like my dad, who didn't take the job home with him, who does it by the numbers. Or you get pulled over by the guy who's just looking for an excuse to screw you up. And that's what happened. I think that's what intersected. Now, once you're out of the car, I mean, there's no rationale. You said it yesterday. Calais Campbell comes in. He just wants to try to help alleviate the situation. Cops take that as a threat.
Yeah. Trying to de-escalate it. Jonnu Smith stop. I watched that video two times last night. Was disgusted both times because of once they have Tyreek out of the vehicle, obviously, it just got carried away. But Jonnu Smith, you know, again, former Falcon.
Right.
He pulls up and is like, hey, and you know, I'm not sure who was with him, but he starts recording and the cops are losing their mind.
Right.
You know, get out of here. You're not parking there. I'm going to arrest you. Let me see your license. You're not leaving. Whoa, man. Slow down. So when that happens and your teammates are trying to come, and again, not right. to his defense. I don't even know if they knew what had happened.
Right. But
they were just trying to say, hey, we're teammates of this guy. Is there anything we can do? Can we call somebody? Can we help?
And why is my teammate on the ground handcuffed?
They didn't even allow that. Right. So, I don't know if that's going to happen. What Drew Rosenhaus is asking for those guys to be, you know, all let go. This will go through the proper channels. There is an investigation going on. You know, I've been told by attorneys, Mike, that if Tyreek wants to make some money out of this, he probably can.
Right.
Right. And I don't know if that's his objective. Like that, I don't think that's what you want when you get stopped. Cops don't want that either. Cops want to go home. You want to go home. That's ultimately what they want. But, Mike, when you have a situation like this, it just reinforces what we've talked about so many times on this show specifically and, you know, around the country. And, you know, when we were at home in 2020 and everybody was talking about social justice and, you know, some of those messages get lost in translation as we move forward, I get it. But I don't know how you feel, but there are a lot of people who say, hey, that was not the way you handled it. Tyreek, yes, you were culpable at the beginning of this.
Right.
Once you got pulled out of the car, the cops should have had more respect for the individual, and they did not. So, listen, I don't know if these guys get fired, but I was totally disgusted by it.
Yeah, I've reached out. Now, my buddy's in Broward County. I was talking to Chris about this earlier. Doesn't know the specific officer in Metro Dade. It's a large police force. But, you know, as we said earlier, we've all been there. You know, look, guys, it doesn't matter, and I understand it. I went and I had a nice dialogue today, Carl, on social media.
About you did?
It. Well, not really. No, I've just, you know, called a racist and everything else. I'm just trying to give 10% of this is on Tyreek Hill. 90%, as you said, the rest is all on the police. But nobody wants to give me the inch to say maybe Tyreek could have handled this better himself.
Well, I'll say this, Mike, and I can't speak again. Black folks are not monolithic, guys. Okay, I know that's the thing that one person right. says it and everybody else feels
just like,
that
and
way.
And the same goes for white guys. Not okay? all. Just like we're looking for common sense here.
Yes.
And a common ground.
But when something happens to African Americans, everybody says one guy speaks and that's how everybody feels. That's not the case. We're not monolithic. But let me say this. There are tons of situations where that same thing has happened, Mike, and the person did everything right and it still played out that way. And I think that is what you're getting from some people. It's not necessarily that Tyreek Hill didn't do what he did. It's what about all the others who did the right thing, did exactly what they were supposed to do, and yet they ended up on the sidewalk, handcuffed, beat up, whatever it might be. So that's the disparity where you're getting from people who say, wait a minute, I hear you, but there are tons of examples of the other side of this where we did everything right and it didn't play out our way.
Right, and that's where, you know, I get it. Now, it's funny, I was talking to one guy today on Twitter and I said, look, I never, if you grew up like, for instance, where I grew up, we grew up in the city, moved out to the Lily White suburbs, and you don't have any experience, your experience with law enforcement are all positive. And then when I go down to Tallahassee and my best friend Jamie, we're driving to Daytona and we're in like rural Florida and first time I ever experienced that. Me and my buddy's an Jamaican American, driving the car. And I hear the, whoa, cop with a gun. I've never seen a cop with a gun out before, right? It was my eye-opener. So I was telling this one guy, it's not like I don't know this exists. My first experience happened to be at age 18. Subsequently, I've spoken to you and others. We've got multiple friends, and we've seen it on TV. We all know where this goes. Just because I grew up in a law enforcement family, by the way, I'm the first guy in four generations to not be a cop. You think that's a coincidence? But as far as, you know, the generalizations and getting back to your initial point, that's what I hate because it immediately it just degenerates into, well, all cops. No, not all cops are bad. And again, there's simply a right and a wrong way to do things. None of that happened here. It was completely wrong from the police. It escalated way over the top. I just think if you're Tyreek, what I was trying to explain to some guys on Twitter today, if you keep rolling up the window with a tinted window, the police don't know what your intent is. And the cop is already amped up because they just pulled you up for speeding. And whether you guys think a cop's got to be a robot, he's not.
No.
And
no.
The other side, and this is the other side of it. Police officers, when they get killed, they get shot on the job right there. Guy coming out of the car with the weapon. So that's why the procedure is the way it is. Now, we can debate how much the cop went over the top, and is Tyreek culpable a little bit, and perhaps maybe just could have just kept the window down and hands on the wheel, and then maybe that de-escalates. Now, if Tyreek Hill does that, and this cop is continuing to go down that road, well, then he does get fired. And I think some guys are going to get fired regardless.
We'll see what happens. But I think that's the pushback from some people who say that situation has happened, and it still ended up bad.
Correct. And that's and anybody who denies that, you're not seeing the big picture.
That's the issue. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. It's something that everybody's talking about. I know this. Every NFL player is. Because they saw that and they realized that could have easily been them on the way to the game on Sunday, minding their own business. And, hey, all right, fine, I'm going to get a speeding ticket, but I don't expect to be on the sidewalk and getting kicked and beat down and whatever the hell else was happening. All right, you guys can hit us up and let us know how you feel about that. With that said, Greg Allman's going to join us, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports. He is set to join us here in about 10 minutes. We were talking about the Braves, guys. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. I'd love to tell you that things have changed. But it hasn't. We still don't score runs. We just don't. And we don't score enough, consistently enough, to really feel like even if we are that third wild card, that we're going to be able to do anything and maybe make it out of a three-game series, let alone, you know, a five- or seven-game series. So, Mike, last night was a prime example of what this season has been.
You just couldn't get a hit. And you're going up against Nick Martinez, who, in case you – a lot of guys, who is Nick Martinez? He's 9 games under 500 for his career. He's on his third team with the Reds. He's having a decent season with a 3.46 ERA. But you couldn't get anything going. I think the only guy that made sharp contact was Matt Olson. So, unfortunately, Carl, when you're rolling out Urshela – And Williams, you know, and a bunch of journeymen, whatever you want to call it, it's what,
bum,
it is what it is.
Bum.
You scrap together two hits in a game. Again, little, it's against the schedule. You're looking for a day off. You're going to get it. But unfortunately, the Mets are on fire. So this was another one you let get away. And I heard Brandon Gaudin say last night, 9th time the Braves were shut out this year.
Yeah.
And remember last year, the most dominant offense in baseball to 9 games, getting nothing across the board.
Well, it's not just the shutouts, Mike. It's 10 over the last 68 games. So you can pack that. You're talking about June, basically end of June to now. You've got these shutouts. Like, that is incredible. Mm-hmm. This didn't start in April because we still had Acuna. We still had, you know, a formidable lineup. Harris, all these injuries hadn't happened. This is a compressed period of the season where this has kind of played out. So, as far as the Braves, guys, they go on the road. The Nats, believe it or not, they've gotten our number two. I mean, we're like 4-7 against the Nats this year. We should be owning these guys, and yet that's not been the case. So I don't even know what to think is going to happen here on the road.
15 games under 500 on the Nats. The Mets now, as you guys know, and the Mets, they kind of had to grind it against Toronto up in Toronto last night, but they get a win. So now you're looking up at the Mets. I just think, Carl, I just
one game, right?
I just don't know what fans expect when you're rolling out guys that, I mean, there are backups, and in some cases, backups for backups we're starting right now.
What do you guys think, man? Braves last night, don't get it done against the Reds. That was a makeup game, by the way. So, but all these games matter now. You know, we said this to Grant yesterday. I think we said 19 games. It's going to 18 today. Every single one of these games matter. And if the Mets continue, all right, to have a 1 or 2 game lead, remember, you know, your win is only a half game unless they lose, and then when you play them, it's head-to-head. So you need every game that you could possibly get. Meanwhile, UGA begins its prep for Kentucky. We're going to talk more about that in the 4 o'clock hour. Kirby not taking the Wildcats lightly at all, despite the fact they lost to South Carolina last week. Going up to Kentucky, he knows, is a tough task. We'll get into that. And last night, Monday Night Football, Mike, we said this. Aaron Rodgers, series. For a series, looked really good, I thought. But that defense was stifling. And then, you know, Shanahan does this with everybody, right? Name the Shanahan running back could be a game, literally, right, as you go through the years and go, oh, who is this running back in Washington? Who are the two guys here in Atlanta? Who is this running back before McCaffrey got there? Like, you could play this game.
I mean, he could do it with Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, Raheem Mostert. I mean, you name it. Then he gets Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey gets obviously benched because he's got the injury. And then Jordan Mason, who I believe we talked about earlier, was recruited by Paul Johnson, but comes through Georgia Tech. So imagine that. Jahmyr Gibbs, Jordan Mason.
A lot of talent.
Mason goes for, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, as good a fantasy night as you could have as a running back. But that's the brilliance of Shanahan. We all look. We can't quit you. We know what happened in the Super Bowl. The guy is a stinking genius. And the Jets, I don't know how effective Hassan Reddick is against the run, but he's a body that's really good against the pass, and they need him right now for the Jets.
I'm more concerned with why they didn't have any answers. That's his former defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, who knows what he wants to do. They had no answers last night, Mike.
Lazard, 2 touchdowns, but a big drop that killed the drive. So, yeah, it's the Jets. They did say, and Robert Saleh's quote was, I believe, I'd rather be 0-1 with Aaron Rodgers than where we were last year at 1-0.
Okay. We'll see. I don't know, again, how mobile he is. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, Tennessee ain't playing around. They got after Caleb Williams last week.
Mm-hmm.
Their D-line has been good for some time now, but I don't know if Aaron has any luck this weekend. We'll talk more about it later in the week. We'll give you our picks. Greg Allman's going to join us, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports, next.
the NFC South, shall we? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. By the way, dog fans, if you're heading up to Kentucky, I need to know where the tailgates are, man. I need to know where we can get it on Saturday. It's a Saturday night game, by the way, up there. Heading up there, Mike. I'll tell you more about it later. But hit me up. Put them up, C. Dukes. Let me know. Hit me in the DMs and let me know. Let's talk to Greg Allman. He covers the NFC South. I want to start with Tampa, not the Falcons, because I was very impressed, Greg, with what I saw with that team, Baker Mayfield. Listen, we said this in the offseason. We got to respect the fact that they won this division, you know, 2 years, again, without Tom Brady. Coming back, I still think they're the team to beat, despite the moves that the Falcons have made. But tell me, you know, about what you saw in week one with that team and Baker, his connection with obviously Mike Evans, that wide receiving core. They did a lot of good things.
Yeah, offensively, look sharp. I mean, first game with a new coordinator, you're never sure how it's going to take. And to see, you know, Baker complete whatever, 80% of his passes, throw for 4 touchdowns, no turnovers. Yeah, I mean, for them to put up, you know, that's a lot of points, 37 points. I don't think they scored 30 until week 9 last year. So Washington has a defense that's got some growing up to do. But, no, that was a game where, you know, I mean, they could have stumbled against a dangerous rookie quarterback in week 1, and they took care of business.
Is Carolina got a problem with their quarterback? Because they're already writing columns up there. They're saying that Bryce Young isn't the guy. I mean, the Saints just stomped him.
Yeah, I mean, he had a long rookie year, and at no point last year did he have a quarterback rating as low as he did yesterday. Mm. So, no, I mean, they struggled. Not yesterday, Sunday, I guess. But, no, I mean, just about everything that could go wrong went wrong there. You come out of it with a Derrick Brown injury to where, you know, you've lost your best player now. Mm. You know, I think they knew this was going to be an uphill climb of a season, but they didn't look much different from last year, you know, in terms of struggling to get the ball downfield, not running the ball consistently. They have a lot of new pieces. It's going to take time to come together, but, you know, on the road with the Saints clicking in their first game with a new coordinator, it looked like they're still, you know, way behind the rest of the division.
Do you believe in Bryce Young? I mean, 13 for 30, 161 yards, 2 picks. He did not throw a touchdown. He was sacked 4 times. He looks nothing like what we saw coming out of Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where, I mean, he'll have a long leash this season. They gain nothing by turning it over to Andy Dalton. But, you know, he's got a – this is essentially his third offense in whatever, 17 career games. So you'd hope – again, I mean, everybody in this division had new offenses today, this week. They looked like they have a lot of, you know, ironing out to do. Defensively, really couldn't stop New Orleans. And offensively, just didn't have much of a spark at all. You know, I think they're missing some key players in terms of injuries. They'll have a better run game. They'll have a better pass rush. There's lots of things. They were bad when they were healthy, and they're missing guys on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be a struggle, but you just want to see them get to a point where they're competitive in games. And that wasn't. It was 30-0 at halftime.
It is a Greg Allman, guys, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Look, all summer long, Carl and I were talking about, where do you see this, man? We're going to be like the very Rams-like offense and Kirk Cousins. We're going to have play action, and it's going to set everything up. And none of that happened. And now Falcon fans, like me and Carl, are saying, is Kirk Cousins even close to 100% right now? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was about as little mobility as you see a quarterback have. You know, I think they, to see the defense, you know, keep Pittsburgh in check, you get them with, you know, probably not their ideal quarterback in there. You hold them to 18, and then the offense can only really do 10. I mean, the offense in the second half, I forget the number. I think it's 45 yards on right. 6 drives mm-hmm. in the second half. And then somebody did some really good work on the predictability of that offense. And it's like when they were in pistol, right. The breakdown in terms of what they did out of pistol and what they did out of shotgun was 100% run one way and like 80% passing the other way, where you just can't have tells like that. You can't make it that simple where defenses say, this is how you're lining up. This is what you're going to do. And it seemed like they did that for an entire game.
All right. So is that the coordinator? That's not the quarterback, right? That's scheme.
No, that's definitely scheme. That's not, right. I mean, Kirk's doing what they call in from the sidelines. I don't know that he had the game he wanted. You know, you think about two, I think his last 6 season openers, he had 11 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And you go from that to Sunday, which is 1 touchdown and 2 interceptions. Mm. You know, didn't really get the receivers involved. Had a touchdown to Pitts, which is exciting, but that's, there's not much else you can hang your hat on. I mean, Robinson, high volume, but not a lot of big plays. You know, they dealt with some injuries on the offensive line, but that's hardly an excuse for 10 points, you know, in your home opener against a coach you probably wanted to beat.
Big time. Yeah, that's about as bad a start as we could have even imagined or a nightmare scenario for us. As Greg Allman joins us, guys, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports. We get the Eagles on Monday Night Football. The Eagles looked pretty good. New coaching staff. I know the game down there on Friday, aside from the Jordan Love injury, was pretty competitive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is suddenly, when you look at Atlanta, I mean, this is a tough stretch. I mean, they have Eagles and then Chiefs and then what?
Saints.
Bucks. Saints and Bucks. So your first five now. Look tricky. Those are all teams that won. So, you know, they kind of have to right the ship in a hurry or they're going to dig themselves a hole and have some catching up to do.
We're talking with Greg Allman, guys, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports, covers the NFL. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. What did you make of Aaron Rodgers last night?
It's one of those where just to see him back out there is wild. You know, it's like, I mean, last year it's four snaps and he's done. So they weren't necessarily competitive with the Niners, even though the Niners didn't have McCaffrey. I had expected a little bit more from the Jets defense. I mean, they're missing a pass rusher and it shows. But just to see Aaron Rodgers back at it, I mean, that again, you think about a free play and a touchdown down the middle, kind of got a second one late. But no, just the fact that he's back and healthy and at least looking a little bit like his old self, that makes the AFC East a really fun division to watch. I mean, they're definitely, I still want to say three wide. I'm not quite buying into the Patriots yet, even though they got a big win against the Bengals, but you know, that's a division that could have three teams gunning for playoffs between Miami and Buffalo and them.
Cowboys looked really good up in Cleveland. Why did Jerry wait till Deshaun is up in a hotel room up there to get the contract done?
Yeah, they had this whole long offseason of drama, and they got Lamb signed, and they got Dak signed. They're paying a lot for them, don't get me wrong, but now it's kind of like instead of doing nothing all offseason, they pretty much do what they had to do to keep a quarterback and a receiver and certainly played well. I'll be out there on Sunday. The Saints go out there on Sunday to Dallas. So, no, now there's some excitement there and expectations too. I mean, I think there's, you know, for them to come out and play as well as they did, I think that might say a lot about Cleveland as much as it does about Dallas. But they did the right things and kind of have some – for all the turmoil they went through to get to week one, now they have a little bit more – momentum and positivity around him.
There is a new investigation into Deshaun Watson, the latest lawsuit against him, which was filed Monday in Houston, dating back to October of 2020. Well, what's the league going to do here, if anything? Will they wait? I mean, we've seen the Rashee Rice situation. Yeah. No, he's not on the commissioner's exempt list. I don't think that'll happen for Deshaun Watson until they figure out legally what's going on, but this is certainly not a good look after all that he's been through.
No, I think the initial reporting today was that he was not going on the exempt list or anything like that. So, again, it's another familiar cloud hanging over him. Mm. I mean, if you're the Browns, it's one of those where you almost wonder, I mean, they're in such a bad place with this contract. Mm. If the possibility of further off-field problems did anything to void the guarantees in this contract, that might not be a bad thing for Cleveland. You know, if that helped them move on from him in a way that contractually they weren't allowed to, it could be a blessing in disguise. You don't want to have anything happen that's a PR hit. You don't want anyone to have the allegations that are against him. But as a team, you know, there's not much he's done to justify that contract since he's been there.
Oh, all the rookies. We talked about Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn today saying he's got to learn to get down.
Yeah.
You know, we saw Caleb Williams. Yeah. It wasn't great, but he got the W the first time we had a rookie quarterback, number one, right, overall pick at a win since 2002. But who's the rookie that impressed you the most?
Yeah, I saw Daniels in person on Sunday. Was very impressed by that. Obviously, they lost, but he's going to be an absolute danger running the ball. Just an elusive, quick runner. You know, maybe as good a running quarterback as there is right now in terms of the speed he presents to defenses and the challenges with that. The other two, Caleb won. Don't get me wrong, but if you look at yards per attempt, Bo Nix was at 3.3. Caleb Williams was at 3.2. To find a rookie throwing for fewer yards per attempt in week one, you have to go back to 2001 and the great Quincy Carter there at Dallas Cowboys. That's how long it's been since anybody had so low a yards per attempt in week one as a rookie. Caleb Williams had not been born yet at that point.
That's wild. I'll say this as we gear up for week two, and there are some great matchups. Obviously, we mentioned the Falcons going up to Philadelphia for Monday night. I just feel like, you know, once the league got going and everything now, you know, it feels normal again, right? I mean, Craig, it feels like, all right, week one is down. We kind of got a sense of what everybody looks like. Things will certainly get better and the play will get better. I just hate, like, the first few weeks of the season feels like everybody's kind of getting in sync because nobody plays in the preseason. You know, we got good games, but it's like it's nowhere near what it could be based on the fact that all these teams and most coaches don't want to play their guys.
Right. Well, and the problem is that because they're rusty, you don't take a lot of shots downfield. So
right.
I think the passing yards was at a ridiculous all-time low.
Yes.
I forget what the yards per game for the across the league was, but like air yards way down. I just think everybody plays it safe. I swear half the passes I saw watching games this weekend were just dump offs and screens to running backs and short throws. Just not a lot of downfield passing. Derek Carr had a deep ball that I saw he had to Rashid Shaheed, but not much else. I mean, you had a lot of teams winning with field goals and short gains and not a lot of, you know, 400-yard offenses or anything like that.
What about Justin Fields being named the week two starter against Denver? Everybody thought this was going to be the revenge game for, you know, Russell Wilson. It doesn't seem like that's going to play out. Mike Tomlin speaking today and naming the quarterback this week for the Broncos in week two, and it's Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think he said they're moving forward as if he's going to be the guy. I don't know that he's really named a starter yet. You know, Pittsburgh, again, you guys saw it. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a great offense. They moved it. Best thing you can say about Fields is that he kind of avoided mistakes. You know, is that going to be enough moving forward? I don't know. You know, going to Denver, the revenge factor would certainly be big there. But, no, Pittsburgh can get off to a 2-0 start. Denver did not look the part. You know, I think they had their moments there, but that defense, you know, getting another to get a rookie quarterback to go up against, that's a nice thing for them. I think that's a defense that will, you know, was a big part of why they won on Sunday, and we'll be talking about that defense more as the year goes on.
And Greg, before we cut you loose, just bring it back to the Falcons. Monday Night Football up in Philly, we traditionally don't do well up there, and we got a quarterback who looks about as mobile as a cigar store Indian. So should Falcon fans be concerned?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Eagles look sharp. I mean, against Green Bay, you know, with a rough field in Brazil, you know, I think Philly is definitely capable of playing down. But I think they're, you know, to get them back home, they're going to be playing at a high level. That's a tough one. I mean, that certainly feels tougher than Pittsburgh did. So, you know, I think if you're Atlanta, the main thing you want to do is just play well. You know, you want to get out there and put a number bigger than 10 on the scoreboard. If you lose that game 31-27 and Kirk throws for three touchdowns, I think you feel better about what they can do to turn things around. If they, the more they lose, the more you're going to start hearing calls for Penix to come in. You know, Cousins, what he needed to do was take the reins of this team, play well, and win early. And he missed the easiest chance to do that in week one, and now he's got to do it against tougher competition here in the next month.
Right on.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate you stopping by. He covers the NFC South for Fox Guys, covers the NFL. Greg Allman, thanks again.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Yeah, man. Week two, and as we said, 48-hour rule for us on this right. show. We will continue to discuss what's going on, but tomorrow we got to start focusing on the Eagles, man. And,
yeah.
And how do we get touchdowns?
Well, regardless of what you thought about Kirk Cousins, the receiver core did not look great. And that was some of the things some experts around the league felt might be an issue for this team. We'll get into it, Carl, because if Cousins isn't 100%, why aren't you rolling with the guy who is? And why don't you give that guy an opportunity to get more ready for the season in Penix?
We've got more to get to coming up. NFL Blitz is on the way. Also, Wes Durham is going to join us, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll get his opinions on that, some college football, and much more. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.